And let's do our Calvary Port Acres Creed of the Week, number two. Ready? We believe in one God, creator of all things, eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, baby. Seated. How many of you heard the phrase, the human aspect? The human aspect. Well, hopefully, if you were here last week, you watched it. Yeah. You heard it last week, right? But today, I want to kind of give you a follow-up lesson, the human aspect, part two, part trois. Uh-oh. Go back up to that. There you go. You get a little excited there. There you go. The human aspect. He was like, done. We heard another lesson already. We can move on. Human aspect part two. Last week, we talked about how the human aspect influence or affected the workings in God's kingdom in a negative way. And it does. But the human aspect can also be a positive. Did you know that God created us with different personalities, different gifts, and different skills for a purpose? There was a reason why he created us that way. The human aspect is positive. He wanted us to be different. You think about the uniqueness of our personalities. You think about how different we all are. And yeah, you can go along and you can find people that have similar personalities. I know you can take those personality tests, and there's like four major personality, whatever. But each individual person has its own little things about it. You can find type A personalities that are, you know, the go-getters. They're usually those executives, those are bosses. Those are the mean pastors and things like that. You can find those people. But each one of them have different personalities within that. So you can't say that, you know, you group them all in four. Everybody is unique. Each of us are original. We are a one-of-kind creation of God. There's never been and never will be anyone just like you. That's pretty cool to think about that. God made us all different. Like we talked about, these personality differences can become sources of conflict in a family and in his kingdom. But it was God's plan and God's design to design each of us differently. So there must be a positive side to it. The human aspect in a positive way. Otherwise, God would not have created it that way. He would have made us all just like Adam and all just like Eve. You know, we'd all have the exact personalities. And as soon as we became Christians, we all acted just like Jesus. Everyone thought, man, there's a bunch of Jesuses running around, right? No, he made us all unique. And if he made us all unique, there must be a positive side to it. There's no right or wrong personality. God made you to be you and me to be me. But have you ever been talking with someone and like their personality was so different than you that you're like, that is just so stupid. I can't even handle the way they act. They're always flighty, or they're always, you know, creative, or they're always whatever. You know, it's not wrong. It's just different. And this is where we get fights and arguments within spouses, fights and arguments within families, fights and arguments in the churches because of these differences. But if God made us different, we have to stop and go, especially us who are in the church, just stop and say, wait a minute. There's a reason why I'm different. There's a reason why they're different. There's a purpose in our differences. Along the way, most of us learn behaviors that become sometimes negative traits to our personalities. But these negative personality traits do not justify wrong behavior. You can't say, well, God made me this way, so deal with it. No, God did not make you rude or rebellious, right? That wasn't God's part. Those are the negative personality traits we pick up along the way, but there are some positive ones that we pick up along the way too. So not only do we have our personality that we're made with God, but also our unique life made us who we are, our unique circumstances, our the things that happened to us in life made us unique even more. Think about the teaching of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians. The body is made up of many different parts, all unique, all different. Every body part is completely unique. Even I have 8 fingers and 2 thumbs. I almost said 10 fingers, but remember, right? But even these 8 are different, right? You say, well, these two are the same. No, they're not. This one's on the right hand, this one's on the left hand. Hello. Right? Yeah, see? This thumb points this way, this thumb points that way, right? So even though they look alike, they're still different, right? So God made each and every body part. We have two lungs, but did you know your two lungs are different? Yeah, we have two kidneys, but those two kidneys are even different. And so we have some things, two of some everything, but they're sometimes uniquely different. You have hearing, two ears, but how many of y'all have exact hearing in both ears? Most of them are different. And so our eyes are different. We see differently in our eyes, you know? So even though we have similar body parts, they're still different. And God made our body that way. And he made the church body the exact same way. You may have two type A personalities, but both of them are different. Or this personality, but both of them have a little bit differences to be able to use perfectly fit for his body and his kingdom. Each body part different, each having a unique role to play in God's servant in his kingdom. Think about, he chose 12 men to be his 12 disciples, and each one of those 12 were very unique. They each had a different personality. Why? I mean, think about the personality of Peter alone. I picture Peter as a little rough around the edges. He's a man with a big heart. He was direct in his leadership ability and always on the move. Peter was a man who saw things typically in black and white. Very little gray in Peter's life. He was a passionate about certain issues, and if you brought up those issues, he'd make sure you knew that he could not hold back to explain his passion on that issue, regardless even if that person wanted to hear it or not. I wonder if Peter ever felt like he was just too much for those around him, too over the top for some people. I wonder if he felt that he was made for more than just being a fisherman. You know, he was a fisherman, and every day he was just doing fish, and he's probably out there like, my personality is not just sitting here fishing. I just want to go and do more, you know? I wonder if he thought about that. And I wonder if he ever wondered why God made him the way he was, with his strong personality and with his passion for life. I wondered these things because I see myself in Peter and wonder the same things about myself. There are days when I feel like I am too much for others around me, where there are days where my personality, sometimes I think, was a mistake. Did somehow God mess up? Did somehow the things I do that turn people away, are those the things that, you know, God messed up on, and God, you know, somehow I'm to blame for that, you know? When we look at Peter, we see a man who's impulsive, emotional, one who speaks before he thinks, a man who is in need of some refining, in need of a few edges, again, like I said, smoothed out. Of all the disciples, Jesus rebukes and reprimands Peter more than any other. But also he encourages Peter more than any others. Jesus speaks to Peter in rebuking and encouraging ways because he sees a potential in Peter's life to be the one that's going to be the first pastor of the church of Jerusalem after Jesus leaves. And he's got such leadership skills that he knows that he can use for his kingdom. Peter is a man who goes from denying Christ to dying for Christ. God gave Peter the exact personality Peter would need to fill the calling place in his life. And when I look at the life of Peter and understand that in Peter's life, it begins to make real in my life that, no, I'm exactly the man that God made me to be for his place. Yes, I have some rough edges, and yes, I could refine a few things of my negative personality traits that I picked up along the way. But God made me the way I am to be where I am right now, right here today. And I praise God for that. Over the years, Peter learned to yield himself to Christ and to serve others rather than being served. The change didn't happen overnight. It literally took years. Ask my wife, same for me. Jesus used all of Peter's mistakes, his weaknesses, his personality, his incredible passion. He used all of Peter to lead him to be a man who is completely sold out, committed to carrying Christ's message no matter the cost. And Peter was the only one who walked on water with Jesus. His passion, his go for it mentality, his don't think before I speak mentality, right? It's what made him perfect for getting out of the boat and walking on water with Jesus, and the only one who did it. What did God do in Peter's life is what he's willing to do in your life. He's willing to take all of you, your personality, your quirks, your little traits that you've picked up along the way, and he'll use every one of them for his glory if you allow him to. At times, you may think that your personality is not the right one. You may question God and how he created you, but God has created you to be exactly who you are. He needed you to be you and has given you everything you need to fulfill the calling that he has on your life. And yes, every one of you has a calling on your life. Every one of you has a position and a place where God wants to use you in his kingdom. Every one of you. And if you're still alive today, your calling is still there. Your place is still there. It doesn't go away when you retire. It doesn't go away when your kids are out of the house. It is still there in your life. It may change to a different calling or a different job or a different position, but there's still something that God has for you in his church. Otherwise, he'd say, okay, come on to heaven. I don't need you anymore. So think about that. You still have a place to be used in his kingdom right now. Every single person, even people who don't believe in Jesus, still have a place. His goal is that they would believe in Jesus so he could use them in the place that he has for them. Think about that. Think about the four writers that God used to write the four gospels. Each one had a different story to tell, a message to share, but they also had specific, unique audience that God wanted each of them to reach. John's message of loyalty in the midst of Jewish persecution would never work if it had been preached to a community of Jews who were needed to know if Jesus was the Messiah or not. Mark's dramatic, action-packed adventure of Jesus would have little appeal to the skeptic Greek who had the audience of Luke. Therefore, each gospel writer marketed, if you could say, God's good news of Jesus to a specific audience in order to effectively deliver the gospel message. You think advertising marketing is a new thing? No, God's been using it since the time he created this world. He knew the different personalities. He knew there'd be different personalities needed for different personalities to be able to share the gospel to them. God knew that. He said, I'm going to use Instagram for this group, and I'm going to use Facebook for this group. I'm going to use a TV for this group. I'm going to use a newspaper for that group. He knew that way, way, way before we even thought about advertising to different markets. In fact, if you look at early, early advertising, they were just pretty much just plain, just here it is, right? And then they started realizing, wait a minute, women think different than men. So they started marketing women's things to women. But it was men marketing things to women. And you women are like, that is not the way we think, right? And so they figured out maybe we should have some women input on this, right? See, God knew all that from the very beginning. He knew that it would take four different men to write the gospel message to reach the entire world for the different personalities and different groups of people that are out there. God was smart with that. Far from contradictory, as some would say, that adversity in the gospels is really nothing more than God reaching out to diverse people, the message of the unconditional love of Christ. Matthew is the most Jewish of all the Gospels. He seeks to tell the story of Jesus to a distinctively Jewish audience. Matthew's purpose in writing the Gospel is to convince the devoted and dedicated Jews that Jesus is the promised Messiah and that Christ is the son of David and the rightful heir to the messianic throne. In Matthew, we see Christ's royal genealogy, the visit from the wise men from the east, to announce his kingly birth, to even the proclamation of the king's rules and laws, the Sermon on the Mount. Mark is a gospel written more as a sermon that serves as a motivation to call to action, right? Call to action of salvation, call to action of sharing the gospel once you have it. It appeals to the Greeks. Unlike the other three gospels, Mark is not concerned with details, but instead centers on a personal choice to act. Ultimately, Mark concludes with an absolute call to action. The gospel tells a powerful story of a challenge and essentially asks believers, what will you do now that you know? Now that you know that Jesus, who he is, what will you do with it? In Mark, we find Jesus shown as the servant of God. Although Jesus came as God to this earth, Mark shows that he was completely submitted to God, the will of the Father in heaven. And anything that doesn't fit the servanthood mentality is completely stricken out of the book of Mark. That's why he doesn't talk about the birth of Jesus, because it doesn't fit the servanthood mentality. Luke is sophisticated and educated, and his account of the life of Jesus uses that personality to appeal to these educated Greeks. These Greeks that were a whole generation removed. You realize Luke was written way after Jesus' birth and life and death. Right? He wrote a whole generation removed. They were not interested in some fairy tale story about something in the past. They want a conclusive argument in support of the truth of the historical figure of Jesus Christ and who he was. And Luke, Jesus is the Son of Man, fully human, but unlike any other human being. This is why Luke traces them all the way back to Adam being the first man, brings him all the way forward. John's gospel is completely different than any other gospels. It is not presented to convert people to Christianity, but really it was written to the people that were already believers and the churches that John helped start and lead. He wrote it to the believers because they were questioning their faith. They were out there in the middle of nowhere, and they're out there going, you know, here we are, believers, but everything around us is you know, attacking us. John presents Jesus as the Son of God, fully divine. Jesus is not only flesh and bones and blood, but he's also 100% God. He reveals his nature as the I Am, where God only used that title as himself. But taken together, these four gospels, these four perspectives of the four gospels, provide a complete picture of the person, the teachings, the miracles, and the life of Jesus. In addition, the multiple verification of these stories give us more reason to believe the validity of their truth to it. The four different people, even people in different time zones and different timelines and different nationalities, different groups, whatever, you know, they were all written to make sure that this is true. Look, here's four different accounts of the stories. Each of these four books were written in different locations. While they sometimes record the same events and different details, the message is always consistent, indicating a level of truthfulness and accuracy. With these different personalities, these different focuses, but they're all accurate to each other. These four gospels ultimately provide one clear message. Jesus is the one, the true, the perfect, the divine God in the flesh, Jesus. Each of the four gospels paint a unique portrait of Jesus. They show us the same Jesus, but portray him with different perspectives. And each are uniquely important today, just as you are uniquely important today. The message of Jesus is a diverse message written for everybody in the world. And each one of you received it differently. If we went around the room and asked you how you received Christ, you would all receive it differently. You would have different experiences in different ways. Well, I just logically figured out that it was Jesus. Well, I just felt his presence. That's two different personalities, but knew Jesus two different ways. That's because Jesus is uniquely diverse to everyone. But we're different. We are all made differently, uniquely different, each of us, and we're all important, and we're all equally important. The key is to find a place and a way of serving in God's kingdom that fits your personality. For example, a shy introvert probably shouldn't be the main greeter at the door. We've actually gone to churches where, like, I thought the person at the door is probably not fit for that job, right? When you open up the door and they open the door and they kind of look down like, you know, you're like, okay, you're a little shy. I'm just trying to serve there, and which is great. I love their servant heart, right? They're willing to serve, but it's probably so awkward for them and so out of place for them. Like, well, I'm trying to break out of my mold. Well, that sounds great, but it just not a fit for you, and it's awkward. Your position should not feel awkward. Right, your position with your personality will feel natural because it's naturally that's where God has you for it. But that person, that introvert, would be great behind the scenes action. That they would, like, here's something I need you to do, and no one's even going to know you're doing it. I'm there. Like, we're you know, sign me up. Right, I'm an introvert. I don't have to talk to anybody. All right, awesome. I'm there. You know, right. And so that they're to thrive in that place. But also, there's other introverts that this introvert could talk to because they understand the same thought process. Someone who's overbearing, someone who's overpowerful and overpassionate to an introvert, right? That introvert will close down. I remember when my grandson, he's not 100% introvert, but he is more of a quieter one, the oldest grandson. And I can remember when he was younger and I would come in and go, hey, buddy, come in, give me a hug. And he'd kind of like, no, it's all right, really. I was just too much for him. So I learned I have to kind of walk in and just kind of sit there for a second. And then he'd like come over to me. You know, I had to kind of learn that because I was a little too excited. My deep voice and bump, you know, hey, what's going on, you know. And he would kind of like, get away. Now he's older. He loves it, you know. He comes running out to me and stuff like that. But when he's younger, I had to realize I got to back off and just kind of quietly sit down and let him warm up to me, you know? So God's personality, the personalities that he gives us are unique in that we got to find the right fit and where we need to be at. Trying to find a way to serve in God's kingdom that is inconsistent with your God-given personality can be very frustrating. It's like trying to write your name with your left hand when you're right-handed. You could probably do it, but it's going to be slow and not very good, right? Like putting a round peg in a square hole. It just doesn't work. And many times, and I say this to young men and women in the ministry, sometimes in the ministry, you just have to do it. Like, I am not uniquely called, I don't think, to be a youth pastor. But yet I have been a youth pastor and taught youth many, many times because I just had to. You know, it's not my calling. It's not what, you know, I think God has me, you know, on this earth to do. I love youth and I love hanging out with them, but it's not where I'm supposed to be. But I do it because I have to, but it's awkward sometimes, you know? And so sometimes you just have to, especially in a small church, you're like, I'm an introvert, but there's no one else doing the front door, so I guess I'll have to. Right? You may just have to be that person, but it does seem awkward because a lot of times it's because other people who have the personality that should be doing it aren't stepping up doing it. They're not ready to do their job. They're not willing to do their position because they're just sitting back and kind of just waiting to see what God's going to do. So each of us has a place, a unique place that God has for us. And it's finding that place and finding that comfortable place to serve in his kingdom. And he has it for you. It's part of God's plan for us to discover a way of serving his kingdom that suits your personality. God made you in a perfectly unique way. After coming to faith in Christ, the most important thing in your life is to glorify him with your unique personality. Ephesians 2:10, I know you're thinking, is he ever going to give scripture? Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them, including our different personalities. We're all his workmanship. We are all created in Christ Jesus for good works with our unique personalities. Nothing's different about that. We must be willing to allow Christ to lead us and serve those around us in his unique way with our unique personalities. We're all a work in progress. But it is the human aspect, part two, the human aspect that God created us to be, that he desires to be seen in others around us. Remember how God used four different men to give the gospels out to the world. Remember how God used 12 different men to spread the message of grace to all those around him. Remember those in the Bible that were different, that God used mightily in his kingdom. And you go through and listen and go back through the Bible and just start listing off all these different unique personalities. Samson, Elijah, Elisha, David, Saul, all these different personalities. And unique personalities and fantastic personalities, but God used them in unique ways for his kingdom. Remember those in the Bible that were different, but allow him to use your personality to reach more for him. Be willing to be one of those different people. Be willing to be used in his kingdom. Remember the amazing work that God did in Peter's life, and then embrace the work that he's going to do in your life. At the moment of salvation, our whole being died and rose with Christ, including those unique qualities and characteristics that make us who we are. Even our personalities are redeemed and renewed and set apart for his use. So wake up every day and say, God, all of me, all of who I am is yours. My personalities, my weird, quirky traits, whatever you don't need, just fluff off and take off of me and just use all of me that you created me to be. Seek to follow him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And God will use you uniquely in his kingdom with your specific, unique personality. So don't ever think, oh, I'm not worthy. I can't speak like him. I can't sing like them. I can't do this. Yes, you can, because God can use you in a completely different way for his kingdom if you're willing to allow him to do it. Amen? You're going to reach some people that I cannot reach, and that's the goal. That's the purpose. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand together and worship him and his wisdom together. Let me pray for you this morning.